Well,
can you turn with me to the Gospel of John? That's where we're going to go. Gospel of John, chapter 4. And as I mentioned earlier, this is, a familiar record for most of you. John, chapter 4. We're going to begin here in verse 1. This is a record of great love. It's, I love the Gospel of John. I call it the out-of-the-gate gospel. Because it's like, out of the gate. He's the light of the world. This is him. Boom. And you just see, how Jesus Christ is declaring and making known who he is. It's really something. We'll see a little bit of that tonight. But in verse 1 of John chapter 4, it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John." This refers back to chapter 3, where John had been misinformed about Jesus baptizing. You know what? Let's read it. Let's go back to chapter 3. Verse 26. Watch John. He was a prophet, and he spoke what God gave him to speak. It's just wonderful. They came to John in verse 26 of 3 and said unto him, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptized, and all men come to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy is therefore fulfilled." Isn't that awesome? I'm the friend of the bridegroom. And when I hear his voice, I rejoice. Then he says, "He must increase," verse 30, "but I must" what?
"Decrease."
"I must decrease." "He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. But he that comes from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receives his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Isn't that something? I have a better translation of that verse. "For the Spirit," which is referring to God, "does not give the words of God by measure unto him." Spirit is a figure, it's metonymy, and it's put for the words that God would give Jesus Christ. This is talked about, as a matter of fact, we'll look at it in a few minutes in Deuteronomy. But that's what verse 1 is referring back to. So Jesus Christ, the Pharisees had heard this, so he's on his way somewhere, but he's going to pass through in verse 2. Verse 2, it says, "Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples did." Verse 3, "He left Judea, departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." All right? So Jesus Christ was going to go through Samaria. "And he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." And then it says, "Now Jacob's well was there." This city of Sychar, or this area of Sychar, was called in the Old Testament, it was called Shechem. And Shechem is a place that shows up a lot in the Old Testament. It's where Abraham first came from Babylonia and where God first spoke to him of the promised land took place here in this spot. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Jacob, this is where Jacob bought a parcel here for 100 pieces of silver. And it's the land that Jacob gave to Joseph and where the bones of Joseph were buried. When they came out of Egypt, this is where they buried him. It's also where Jacob came with his wives when he came out from under Laban and bought a piece of land and he built an altar here. So that's this area of Sychar. There were a lot of things that happened here. But by this time, we'll get to it in a minute, Samaria was a land and a people that were held with great disdain by Israel. The Judeans really looked down on the Samaritans. Many of them thought worse of the Samaritans than they did of the Gentiles. Anyway, let's read a couple more verses. It says, verse 6, now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, so it would have been about noon. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. That's something. Let me share a little bit about Samaria. In the Babylonian captivity, when Israel was led captive, the lowest class or the least productive, okay, the least beneficial to Babylon were left behind. So it was just the lowest class of people. They then intermarried for those who were not of Israel. Okay? And so this is what made up the Samaritans. So to the Judean, they were considered to be like half-breeds. Even the way they approached Judaism, the law of Moses, was different than the Judeans. They, the Samaritans, had constructed their own temple to worship on Mount Gerizim, which is what this woman of Samaria will refer to in a few moments. You know, we say in this mount we worship God. And the reason they did that, because they held in their tradition that Moses had constructed an altar on Mount Gerizim. But the Judeans burned their temple down. So there was, you know, there was not a lot of love between these people. Okay? So, and on top of that, you had, in this instance, it was a woman. Now, in the Judean tradition, a master or a rabbi would never speak to a woman in public. There were even rabbis referred to, I shared this with Stefan earlier, as the bruised and bleeding. And they were referred to as that because whenever they would walk by, I mean, it's nuts, but whenever they would even walk by a woman, they would close their eyes and they would walk into stuff. Wow. Religion's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But anyway, so in the Judean tradition, for a rabbi or a master to speak with a woman, let alone a Samaritan woman, you're talking lowest of the low here. So it's really interesting, you know. And another way to look at this too is that Jesus Christ, he who would give rest here, was wearied. And because he was wearied, he's asking for water. And just how this thing turns, it's such a wonderful record. So this woman of Samaria comes. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Isn't that something? In John 3, this is just so cool. In John 3, you've got the record of Jesus Christ speaking with Nicodemus. You remember the record? Let's read just a few verses. We're coming right back here to 4. Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a ruler. He would have been a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a teacher of the Judeans. Okay? He was, highly respected, looked up to. He comes to Jesus by night. All right? Because he didn't want to be seen. But he comes to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was a wonderful man. I'm not taking anything away from him. But he comes to Jesus by night. And he says, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, I love this. It has nothing to do with what Nicodemus just said. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Isn't that something? Look at verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Jesus Christ is teaching this ruler of Israel about the giving of spirit, about being born from above, about eternal life, about that which he had come to do. Then you have this record in John 4. We go from Nicodemus to the lowest of the low. And we're going to watch him share the same thing. Isn't that something? You know? And it's so great because it just speaks to how God doesn't see like man sees. See? You know, we read the verse where it says he must needs go through Samaria. He wasn't going through Samaria to avoid anything. He was going through Samaria because that's what God told him to do. See? And then we're going to watch the result of him doing exactly what God told him to do, which was to go through Samaria. So this woman, we're back in 4. Again, those Judeans in verse 9 we read had no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, to says to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, you don't have anything to draw with. She wasn't quite putting it together. And the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. Now we're going to see a beautiful picture being drawn here. And this isn't the only time. You see this in the Gospel of John. Later on in John 6, to a group of people who had followed him, he says, I am bread. I am the bread of life. I'm the bread from heaven. Here it's, he's talking about living water. And what's so beautiful about this when you think about it, the picture that's being drawn is, you know, when you're thirsty, when you're really thirsty, all that's required is to receive, drink the water. Right? And you're refreshed. But the water that he's talking about Well, let's read it. Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. Verse 14. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And this, in the Greek, the way it's constructed in the Greek, it's never, never, forever. Never, never, forever thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what?
Everlasting
life. Isn't that something? Into everlasting life. Here, water representing spirit life. And drinking is put for receiving. Quenching for eternity is put for, or quenching forever is put for everlasting life. It's an awesome picture. Twice in Jeremiah, God is referred to as the fountain of living waters. That's right. That's right. There's another record. You know, in John 6, I mentioned, you know, John is just such a great gospel. In John 5, you think you know the scriptures? They are they which testify of me. See, he's just out with it. In John 6, I'm the bread. I'm the bread from heaven. I'm the bread of life. In John 7, it's at the Feast of Tabernacles. And let's read it. John 7, just flip a page, we'll come right back. I wrote this one down. John 7, this is Feast of Tabernacles, in verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and what?
Drink.
And drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the next verse, which is a digression, it's a parenthetical phrase in the Gospel of John because it was written after the fact. But this spake he of the what? Spirit. Which they that believe on him should receive. For Holy Spirit was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now flip back to John 4. So Jesus Christ is just pronouncing this awesome truth, or beginning to pronounce this awesome truth to this woman, this lowly woman of Samaria. It's incredible. Let's keep reading. Verse 15, the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw, or have to come here to draw again. She wasn't, you know, quite understanding. And Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither, come back. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly, or you spoke the truth. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Again, probably referring to that Mount Gerizim in Samaria. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, or is coming, when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, of the Judeans. But the hour cometh, and now is coming, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This amazing revelation. Now you got to put yourself in this time, in this place. It was all about Jerusalem. It was all about the place. And what Jesus Christ is laying out, look, none of that matters anymore. This is what God has been going for. And it's coming. It's here. It's here. It's similar to what he said to Nicodemus, isn't it? Yeah. It's here. See? That's right. That's the water that I have to give. It's living water. It's water that's going to quench for eternity. And he's revealing this incredible truth to this lowly Samaritan woman. You know? That's just... it's so God-esque, isn't it? It just is. It just is. You know, after he was resurrected, it reminds me of those kinds of records where he talked to the two men on the road to Emmaus, right? And he's just like walking with them. How you guys doing? What's wrong? Haven't you heard? No. You know? But by the time he's done, he shares the scriptures concerning him. Ah! Isn't that something? Two guys. Just. But you know, it also speaks of the power of God's word. And it speaks, you know, to his great love, his concern for people. Because Jesus Christ is doing exactly what God wants him to do. It's just awesome. Anyway. And I love this woman. You know, when you read the commentaries about her, they say a lot of things. But when I read this record, she's going to say some things, and I see how the town reacted. In my estimation, she must have been an honorable woman. Mm-hmm. A woman who was looked up to, for some reason. Anyway. So, he says this to this woman, reveals this great revelation. Verse 25, and look at this. And the woman says unto him, I know the Messiah comes, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. That was her response to his saying what he said. She knew something. Isn't that something? And then Jesus said unto her, I mean, can you imagine? I that speak unto thee am him. I'm him. And you know what she's referring to? I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn there if you don't want, but it's in Deuteronomy 18. And it's a scripture. It says, I will raise up in verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command thee. Him, command him, all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require. Jesus Christ says, I only speak that which I see and hear of who? The Father. See? Isn't that something? So he spoke the words of God, and this is what she's referring to. You know, he will come and he will tell us all things. See? And Jesus Christ just looks at her and says, I'm him. You know, this would make a great movie. You know, they didn't get all religiously with it. Anyway. All right, back to John 4. So, he says, I am him. And upon this came his disciples and marveled. I love this. And marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why are you talking with her? They all marveled at it, but no one was going to say anything. You know, it's like, Probably yelled at Peter. Or, no, I didn't say nothing. None of that. I'm not going down that road.
Anyway, it's kind of neat.
Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and says to the men, this is so cool. You know, getting water was a big deal. And that was the woman's job. You see that in other places in the Word. You can look at some records in the Old Testament and see that. But it's just, to me, there's a reason why God has this in His Word. Here, this valuable thing, that water, as she got out of the well, she left it. Ah! And all she went back with were words of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Speaks pretty loudly to this woman, where her heart was. She leaves her water pot. She went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the mean, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. You need to eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, did anybody give him something to eat? Because when he said that, I have meat that you don't know about the meat. Well, somebody give him meat? Who gave him meat? I love these guys. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. To finish his work. You know, later on in John 6, in that record where he says, I'm the bread of life, these people had followed him and they asked him a question. They said, what are the works of God? And he said, this is the work of God, to believe on me. This is what the scriptures were about. This is what God had been in the process of bringing about for mankind. And here he is. Isn't that something? Here he is. I'm him. See? So my meat is to do the will of him. Say not ye therefore, verse 35, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already, they are white, already to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal. See? The priority here was everlasting life. See? And there's a wonderful thing, and it's quite possible that you had these men from the village walking down the road toward this well. And that's possibly who Jesus Christ was referring to. The fields are already white to harvest. Really something. Anyway. And here in verse 37 is that saying true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor, other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. These are unique individuals. They believed he was the Christ based on the woman, the words of the woman. Later on in that John 6 record, I mean, we're going to have to go through that record sometime. But in that record, they follow him because he had fed the 5,000 men and they wanted more food. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they wanted bread. And so he teaches them, look, he says, don't seek after the temporary bread. And they said, well, okay, show us a sign. Moses gave us manna. Food. Right? They were thinking about one thing. You know? And so Jesus Christ teaches them about him being the bread. You know, everlasting. You'll never hunger again. You'll never thirst again. See, it's a different picture that he draws But you know what? They didn't believe. They didn't believe. These guys, they believed based on the words of the woman. Those lowly Samaritans.
Some. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days.
Isn't that something? He stayed there for 2 days. Can you imagine what that time was like for these people?
And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe not because of your saying, for we've heard him ourselves. And know, look at this, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Man!
Boy, isn't that something? You know, then a couple of verses later, Jesus Christ says a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. You know, salvation was of the Judeans. Unto them was given the oracles, the law. And here these lowly Samaritans, who the Judeans despised, came out of this saying, he is the Christ. He's the one. See? And received that tremendous blessing. Because they drank of that water. And that's something. It's just an awesome record. And it's just one of those records that shows God's heart. You know, and Jesus Christ and how he walked with God, making known the Father. See? And this is one of those records. I mean, all these records, they make known the Father. They make known who he is and what his heart is. And what his heart is for people. See? And it's about everlasting life. That's what it's about. So we get to do this kind of thing. We get to hold forth God's word, speak God's word, make Jesus Christ known. Isn't that something? And it's just, you know, it's one here, it's one there, but it's the word, and it's God that backs his word up. So that's a pretty awesome privilege we have. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, that's it. And I think I'm going to...